Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast. I'm Ian, joined by Dave, and also this evening joined by Sharon Robbins. Hello, how are we doing?
Hello, good, thank you. How are you both?
Doing all right, yeah. I think. We've had a night's sleep, a couple of nights' sleep on it now, so Tuesday night feels a little bit less sore. Although I did only encounter the highlights. Doing the air quotes here, folks, but yeah, I came across the highlights on last night, so I obviously was purring over Ruben Reid's goal, but other than that, there wasn't a lot to write home about, was it?
I mean, as evenings go, Tuesday couldn't have gone much worse from a Yeovil Town perspective, could it? Losing the match, losing the captain, losing Dan Moss. It's been a rough week after that, the FA Cup drama, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I can tell you, Southend's far as well. Not the most ideal place to go on a Tuesday night, which obviously we were just saying it's been moved because of the FA Cup. So it wasn't the ideal journey, but 80 hardy souls went all the way to Southend to watch it. And yeah, it just didn't click, didn't really turn up, to be honest, to coin a football cliche. The last 10 or so minutes, maybe 20 minutes, were better, but it was just too little, too late. And I can't say anything else than Southend fully deserved their victory. We made them look very good indeed.
I mean, they were in a little bit of form, weren't they? I think they only beat Weymouth the week before, which we'll give them. But I don't think they'd lost one in six before that. So they were in decent form. But from a couple of people I've spoken to who were there, we made them look like Brazil or someone said Barcelona, but I don't think Barcelona are doing very well this season either. So we made them look like a very good team anyway. Is that, do you think it was more down to our shortcomings or do we just say, look, they were brilliant?
I mean, I think when you support a team, you always look at it from that point of view, don't you? You can look at any goal and say how you could have defended it better, things like that. And they started how we start matches when we win. And they came out all guns blazing, really put us under pressure, utilised the wings so well. They made the pitch look much bigger than it was, and we just could not handle it. And I think they'll be disappointed that they didn't score more in that first half. They hit the woodwork, and we just didn't test their keeper at all, really. So we were lethargic, absolutely. And you're right, they were in some form. That that win against Weymouth was big for them. And it has so many similarities between what Southend have been through and what we've been through. Double relegations. You know what it's like when you're in that constant losing mentality. So as soon as they scored that first goal, the atmosphere was great. They were really behind the team because they don't experience wins very much. And we know exactly what that was like when Darren Sell first came in and started winning games. So I really did feel like it was sort of us in that first season. We went down and we started to win. So, yeah, I think they were impressive. I mean, Reece Murphy was lively.
I'm going to say that's the other comparison there, is Reece Murphy playing up front.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't score, but he created the first goal and he hit the woodwork and just his overall play. He went off injured, which is potentially a shame for the rest of his season, but you just really remembered what he brought our team. And until we brought Ruben Reid and Joe Quigley on, he just didn't look like scoring.
Yeah, I think that it sounded like on the commentary, it never quite clicked, but we were almost hit by that second goal just after Reid and Quigley had come on, and the changes we made turned us around, but unfortunately we had a bigger deficit to overcome at that point.
Oh, I mean, you just couldn't write it. They just come on, they hadn't even touched the ball, and then they scored up the other. We just completely went to sleep. I mean, you've seen the defending for the second goal. It's absolutely criminal. He had two players to choose from in acres of space. It could have been Murph, it could have been Clifford, who did score it. So that was just painful. And then it's really hard for those strikers, isn't it? And I think had it been just the one, we might have got something from the game. But 2-0 that late on, just too much of a mountain to climb. And we know how it doesn't matter where the teams are in the league, saw how difficult Dover were. You know, once they've got something to hold on to, just too little too late. And I can't say that we should have brought them on earlier either, because we brought them on, what, 57 minutes. So good time to bring them on, but they just scored at absolute worst time.
Yeah, it was quite early changes for Darren Sowell. He usually leaves them a little bit later. I think after the match, he sort of said how tired, you know, noticeably tired we are. And, you know, Southend came too soon, really. And I think, you know, bringing those two on probably is a bit of a sign of tiredness, I think. Is another game for Adi Youssef where he sounds like he didn't really do a lot, didn't get involved. Do you think his time is coming to an end, but do you think he'll be seen as more of an impact sub going forward? Now, you know, Reed's looking sharp and Joe Quigley, when he came on against Bournemouth, was, you know, he was one of our better players, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hastening to sort of criticise Adi too much, because he has made an impact both from the bench and when he started. But you guys spoke about it on your last podcast. I couldn't agree more. That summed up his career, his inconsistency. He can't seem to string a couple of performances together. And yeah, he just went missing. And that made it hard for Charlie Wakefield and Tom Knowles to really create anything for him. Whereas Ruben Reid and Joe Quigley just looked so much more assured on the ball. I think Adi Youssef gives the ball away a bit too much, particularly in this physical league, whereas both Reid and Quigley can retain it. And I think he just needs the rest. I think he needs the rest. And he has played a lot of football, got his fitness back up. But, you know, particularly those games against Southend, where they really are physical, you've got to do a lot of running. We didn't have a lot of the ball, and I just think he probably needs a spell on the sidelines. If he can do what he did, you know, against Woking in the next few matches, I mean I don't think we'll all be too disappointed. But yeah, it wasn't his strongest performance, that's for sure.
No, but, and you're gonna laugh at me when I say this, obviously we've got Ruben Reid came on, he got his goal. I mean, you know, somebody did point out that I could have maybe run from Preston and still got that turned that one in, but I'm not saying that. He got his goal, so good to get him off the get him on the score sheet. I mean,
are you gritting your teeth there, Dave?
No, I'm not gritting my teeth at all. No. He got his goal, and you know, one in six appearances better than he did last season. So, but, I mean, is what we need from Ruben Reid is to stick him on against Needham Market, you know, get a hat trick or you know, not that I'm writing off Needham Market. We'll speak to a Needham Market fan in a bit, and we, you know, we felt the bite of giant killings ourselves in all kinds of cup competitions. So let's not say it's going to be a walkover. But do you feel, sounded like from what the manager was saying to you after the game, Sheridan, we need to, you know, put on a strong team on Saturday and go out there. Is that what these strikers need? Someone to get out there, get a bit of confidence, get some goals.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you saw what he did in the dying seconds of that Bournemouth game. We weren't going to draw the game, were we? But if there was a potential penalty, that ball was his. He was going to put it into the back of the net. Doesn't matter how you get those goals, does it? And, you know, it was a tap-in. Joe Quigley did well, and Ruben Reid was in the right place at the right time. It does seem that strikers, when they are on a bit of a barren run, of course he's coming back from injury, so it's slightly different to last season, but if it bundles over the line somehow, really doesn't matter. And of course, we did have a goal disallowed, so we did pressure them late on. I would definitely play him against Needham Market. I think if he was in this kind of form, not coming back from injury, I perhaps wouldn't maybe start him. But I think the fact that he needs those minutes, and it was a bad injury, he is one of our older players. I would certainly put him in the starting 11. Hopefully he can get a couple of goals. And I don't think it matters who you get them, but he got a few in pre-season, didn't he, against lower league opposition. And it does just set you off on the right tone. And yeah, he looked sharp. And I just like what he did, just running straight back to kick off to try and get that equaliser in the last six or so added minutes. But it wasn't to be. But yeah, it's all about circumstances, isn't it? It's all about taking those chances. So I hope we see him start on Saturday.
Me too. I do. I really do. I did say last season, you know, that my thoughts are on record on last season. But
they certainly are, aren't they?
They seem to be on record every podcast, Dave.
To be fair, this is the first time I brought it up all season. It gets brought up for me most other times, but I wasn't even on last week and it still got mentioned. So but you know, if he can score the goals that he should be scoring for a player of his calibre, then he could be massive for us. He could be a really really important player. So I hope that he does. But you're talking about the handball. I mean, seeing it again on the replay. We were talking on our WhatsApp group about it and saying it's one of those that you can kind of see why you would think it was asked, because he didn't seem to be looking at the ball. But then when you slow it down, his arms are in such an unnatural position because they're sort of up in the air, aren't they? Because he's, you know, jumped for it, obviously. I mean, were we a bit hard done by there, do you think?
I think it's in the camp of you've seen them given. You've seen the striker. You call Max Hunt striker for that, I think. You've seen them being given the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I could not see a thing. We were inside a press box, which is utterly, utterly bizarre, trying to watch football through a screen, like a glass screen. There's a big bollard just in the way. So I saw sort of Joe Quigley take the shot and didn't see any of the handball. But yeah, having seen it again, I mean, if you have to, we don't have VAR, do we? If you have to slow it down to see, then perhaps they made the right decision. And yeah, we can look back at it and say, hard done by, but did we really deserve a point? Probably not. I think if we'd have taken a point, you'd go, well, when you're not playing well and you get a point, well, you're doing really well. So it's one of those. And I was surprised actually. The manager brought it up himself. I didn't even have to ask about it. So I don't think that was what he was playing on his mind and what he was talking to them about for quite a while after full time.
Yeah. But it was heartbreaking to watch Luke Wilkinson go down clutching his hamstring. You know, you could see from just watching it on the highlights, you know, it looked bad, didn't it, the way he went down.
Oh, yeah. And completely out of nowhere. And him hobbling off at the end, you just scored. The ball goes up for 6 minutes of added time. And fair play, we put them under a lot of pressure for that 6 minutes. But we were down to 10 men and he just looked gutted. And it's such a shame for him as a man and him as a player. He's so huge for us, so huge for us. And it's just something that just keeps niggling away at him. And he just can't string those kind of games together, playing those amount of 90 minutes, Saturday, Tuesday. And it's something that's going to have to be looked at. And if it is 6 weeks without him, we're going to really, really miss him.
Yeah. And obviously, we've learned since then, and you've got the exclusive after the game, that Dan Moss has gone to Pastures New, which we now know are the Leighton Orient pasture. But we've got Jack Robinson till the end of the season, and we haven't heard. I think Sonny's loan is up Saturday, if I look back on when he signed. I think it was the 15th that he was due until. So, but it sounds like the manager's fairly confident that he's going to go. I mean, Dan Moss is a big loss, but I know if Ben was here, he'd be saying that Jack Robinson is a big plus as well. So is that a little bit yin and yang?
Yeah, it's gutting, isn't it? Because you didn't know it was his last game either until afterwards. So that's a shame. But fair play. I think he's been outstanding. I think when we signed both of them, you just think, well, good. Look forward to seeing what these young players are like.
Yeah.
But what impressed me so much about him was he progressed so much in terms of his attacking play. He was very much just a right back when we first signed him. But he really grew into that attacking force on that right-hand side. And so professional as well. You know, I'll always stay with me when he was on that yellow card for so long. He was that pantomime villain at Wrexham.
Yeah.
And he's only played sort of under 23s football. So there's always that debate, isn't there, that when you're playing in youth football, you don't get the proper match day experience. But the way he took that in his stride was just always so impressive to me. And the tackles he put in, just so confident, proper Millwall tackles, weren't they? And yeah, a really good luck to him. And I'm pleased when Millwall put out their statement that said he's back in the under 23s, he's going straight somewhere else. So I'm pleased it's in the Football League, because he deserves it. But great, Jack Robinson. And hopefully we'll hear about Sonny Blue soon, because I think, again, he's progressed a lot. But yeah, Jack Robinson, particularly with Luke Wilkinson going to be out. Crucial that we kept him, I think.
We talk about not falling in love with footballers, and like another rule, like even more important, not to fall in love with loan footballers, really. Because I don't know, Dan Moss has been just brilliant, hasn't he? He's been such a good player for us. And I think at the time when we signed him, I sort of wondered why we signed him when we've got Alex Bradley. And hit the level that he performed at from the moment he stepped into the team has been unbelievable. And I think part of me wishes that we'd have known on Saturday that he was going to be going back, so that he could have got a proper send-off, really, from Yeovil Town supporters. Because I think, for me, he's up there in one of the top five highlights of the season so far, just as his performances, from going to being this young player that you're like worrying, you know, how's he going to handle National League football, to just being like not having to worry about this player, because he's just, there's never a mistake. There's never an error. He has been so reliable. And, you know, as we've been spoilt with loanees as Yeovil Town fans for such a long time. And he's another one who, you know, in the grand scheme of things, really he's a footnote in Yeovil Town player history, because he's played such a small amount of games, but he's made such a mark and such an impression. And it, you know, the response of the players after he's gone, I thought Josh Staunton's tweet, and I asked Luke Wilkinson about him at the press conference before the Torquay Boxing Day game, and he said how impressed he was, and how he's sort of a lone player who's totally bought in to the, you know, to the club and everything. And I think, yeah, it really shows what a outstanding loanee he's been for us. And hopefully, you know, maybe there'll be more who come in who follow in that path. But, you know, I think Jack Robinson's on his way to being that type of loanee for us, and it frees up Jordan Barnett to go further forward. And like you said, the loss of Wilco's huge. So having Robinson tied down for the rest of the season is going to be massive. And hopefully that frees up Morgan Williams to fill that spot in the middle. And then we can leave Josh Staunton well alone.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, no, I think he's one of those players, isn't he, that we as Yeovil Town fans are going to follow his career. And we're going to say, oh, he's signed for them. Yep. He started off at Yeovil, and you have that pride that your club started off his his career. So
many of us watch Premier League games and wind our partners up by saying, "Oh, we play the Oval, we play the Oval." My partner says to me all the time, if I mention any footballer, he says, "Oh yeah, the ex-Oval." But no, he's one who didn't. Yeah, David Beckham, no, he's one that didn't.
Oh yeah, my other half goes, "Did everyone play for the Oval?"
Exactly, yeah, they did. They all played for us.
Yeah. We do like to point them out.
Yeah.
We do. But where'd you rate him? I saw somebody said he was the best right back we had since Ayling, and I said, "Oh, I think Connor Roberts would have a word or two to say about that." And this guy said, "Nope, better than Connor Roberts." I mean, Connor Roberts was obviously with us for a lot longer, wasn't he, for full season? But
yeah, and can you compare with the difference in level that we were playing at? I don't know. And also, I think they're probably seeing that because Dan Moss has been more in a winning team than Connor Roberts was, maybe, and that kind of clouds your judgment a little bit. I mean, he obviously helped us win. He's right up there for sure, certainly in terms of loan players. And I think he's one of the best signings that Darren Salah's made. He talks about, doesn't he, that's what he likes to do, coach young players. And I think you've seen a real change in Dan Moss through the coaching of Darren Salah, and that's what's been so impressive for me. I mean, that's a bold statement. I'm not sure I quite will say that, but he's right up there. And if he has a career anything like Luke Hayden, he'll be doing all right for himself, or Connor Roberts for that matter.
Yeah. We did find out before the Southend game that Darren Sarr was at a Luton Town Stevenage development game as well. So there were some decent players coming back to fitness for the first team for Luton. So
Danny Hilton, please.
Danny Hilton, yeah, I've already put in my request for Danny Hilton. So, the Luton Town reporter that I contacted him about me said that if I remember Danny Hilton playing at Yeovil, he won't be welcome back there. He had quite a bit of shithousery with us, didn't he?
So, hate him.
Yeah.
Well, I probably still do.
Him, wouldn't you? Love him in your team.
Yeah.
You would love him in your team.
Yeah, he knew exactly what to do to push all the buttons of the supporters behind the goal. Like, he just knew. Oh, what an arsehole.
Well, on that note, are we going to cut to my little chat with the Needham Market supporter?
I think we should.
Do we? So this is Leo, who is a YouTuber, 14 years old. Told me that he didn't get to the game on Tuesday night because school didn't finish early enough. But if you listen to him talk about Needham Market, he knows his stuff. So keep on listening and see what Leo's got to say about coming to Yeovil this weekend. Okay, so hello, this is Dave, and I am joined today by Leo Fraserbell, who is a Needham Market supporter and a Needham Market YouTuber as well. If you type his name into YouTube, you will find videos from Needham Market and a variety of other games as well, I think. So firstly, Leo, welcome to the Glovers Cast.
Good evening. How are we all?
We're doing all right. Well, not doing as well as you, but we will come on to that in a short while. But Needham Market, probably not anybody, not a club that any Oval fan have particularly heard of. The only thing that we managed to find out about Needham Market is the woman that plays Doc Cotton in EastEnders is from there. So that's the level that we're going in at. So tell us a bit about Needham Market Football Club. Where are you in the football pyramid? And who are the people that we might know from the club?
Well, we play two leagues below Yeovil in the Southern League Premier Division Central. We're currently, I think, 15th for... I think we're 15th before last night and now 13th after the win. You'll probably recognise Kevin Horlock, ex-Man City, West Ham, Ipswich, Swindon player, is our manager at the moment.
Has he been there a while? Kevin Horlock?
Yes, we've had him as first team manager since kind of midway through the 2019 to 20 season. Okay. But he's been in and around the club, academy roles and stuff since a while before, I think.
Is he connected to the area? Because Needham Market is Suffolk, isn't it? So Ipswich is relatively local to you there, Ipswich? closest
Premier, about 10 miles from Ipswich, I think. Right. Just under
that.
So that's
the connection, is it, with Horlock being ex-Ipswich from that area?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you play Southern League, Premier Division Central, and you say in the middle. I mean, is that the level that you've been at for a while now? Have you been up and down in recent seasons?
Well, we won the Isthmian League North title in 2014-15, and we've been in the level since then, but we were in the Isthmian Premier and got transferred over to this league in the 2018-19 season. So we've been in this league for 3 years now.
Okay. And what kind of teams? Are there any other teams that might have heard of? I think I saw, is AFC Rushton and Diamonds, are they in your division?
Yeah, Rushton, Diamonds, Tamworth, Stourbridge, Nuneaton. Might have heard of some of those.
Okay, yeah. In our non-league days, we played all of them. We had a bit of a ding-dong going back years ago now with Rushton and Diamonds, the former club. So, heard of a few of them. Nuneaton's familiar as well, I think. So, Okay, well, you've already alluded to it. Your Tuesday night was a lot better than Yeovil Town's Tuesday night. Tell us a bit about how you got on. Firstly, were you there?
No, I couldn't make it because obviously school.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously, the coach left Bloomfields at 3:15.
Right.
So, because obviously it's like a 4-hour journey there. It's one of the longer distances in our league.
Okay. Alvechurch, is that right?
Alvechurch, that's it.
Okay. And you were 2-0 down at half time, am I right?
Yeah, 2-0 down. Even looking at the Twitter updates, it could have been more, to be fair.
Right.
Our goalkeeper, Marcus Garnham, by making some absolutely mental saves, apparently. So,
right. And then what happened in the second half then? Did someone put something in the cup of tea at half-time?
Well, I think that's the case. An ongoing little inside joke at Needham is that Kevin Horlock likes Haribos. So maybe he's given a whole squad a pack of Haribos at half-time.
Fired them up with some Tang Fastics, has he? And then they've come out and what was the final score?
1-3-2, 87th minute winner by the substitute, Jose Santa, who came on 2 minutes prior to scoring his goal.
Blimey. Is he a striker or a midfield player?
Yeah, he's a striker, academy graduate as well, so it makes it even better.
Okay, fantastic. One of your own, then. That's always good. So the academy is you've got a lot of players that come through the academy there, have you, at Needham Market?
Yeah, very successful. Our captain, Kieran Morphew, came through the academy. I think he's been here for 8 or 9 years now.
Okay.
Along with a few other players. Jake Dye, Noah Collard, obviously Jose Santa, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Some very dangerous players.
Okay, and we've got. Have you had players that have come through the academy that might have gone on to big, you know, to other clubs, gone maybe up the pyramid a bit more?
Callum Page, who's now back on loan with us, signed professional contract at Ipswich this summer.
All right, okay. He's back on loan, is he?
Yeah, he's come back on loan.
Okay, all right. So he's he was a star player for you. Is that recently he signed for them?
Yeah, I think it was July last summer. Maybe June.
Okay. Right. So glad to have him back. So, you've mentioned a few names there. I mean, what are your feelings about coming to Yeovil on Saturday? Are you presumably coming with a bit of a spring in your step after Tuesday night, I think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm buzzing for it, of course. But obviously, although we're in good form, perhaps Yeovil are in quite bad form, as you've mentioned. It is the two league gap that it can wipe all of that stats away. You can't really look at stats in terms of form for a game like this. So it will be very interesting. But we did beat Wildstone.
I was going to say, you've already put out a team in our division, haven't you?
Yeah, 2-1 win against Wildstone at home.
Okay. So what happened in that game then? Did they turn up and underestimate you, or did you just outplay them on the day?
First half performance, we were 2 up at half time and we completely outplayed them.
Okay.
Second half, to be fair, I think our defence was probably the best it has been all season. Wealdstone, obviously, they got one on the 65th minute and then were looking very, very dangerous throughout the second half. A few goal line clearances, but we got there in the end.
Okay. So does that give us an indication that, you start quickly as a team?
Well, yeah, we're very quick on the attack, I guess. Mm-hmm. We like to play the ball quickly, as obviously that's Kevin Horlock's style, really, since he's actually come here. It's always been quick, energetic football, which we do love to see.
Okay. And who are you? Oh, you've obviously mentioned some of the players that have come through your academy. I mean, who are the players that Yeovil Town should be maybe keeping an eye out?
In all honesty, I can't pick a single player out of that team.
You just don't want to give any information away. Is that what it is? You don't want to give any dip?
No. Honestly, I think it's a whole team
that
I want to even playing field, really, in terms of quality.
So who's the top scorer, for example? Who's the man who comes in with the goals?
Well, the top scorer is Luke Ingram with 9 in the league. We had I think our second top scorer is Byron Lawrence, but he's out with a serious injury now. So obviously he won't be in the team for Saturday.
Right. So Luke Ingram. All right. Well, I've got one name out here there, and you've already mentioned it from the academy, but I think he's trying to hold back information just in case people are listening to this. Well, I guess last question then, Leo. Are you you got a ticket yourself for Saturday? Are you coming down to Yeovil?
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. And how many need them? Market men, you call yourself, don't you? Is that right?
The market men.
So how many market men and women can we expect to see turning up? Is there
I think we're bringing one full fans coach.
Right.
Which our away support isn't exactly the best. We don't gate much at home either. We get about 250. So for our league, that's quite average. But hopefully a few do make the trip for Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you get an average gate of 250 and you've got a coach that's probably like 50 odd people, that's a fifth of your crowd, travelling all that way. It's not a short journey, is it?
Four and a half hours.
Yeah, 4.5 hours. Okay.
It's a long
Fantastic.
One.
Yeah, it is. Well, have a safe journey there. Hopefully you've got a little bit of sadness in your heart when you travel back. You'd expect me to say that, wouldn't you? But hopefully it's it's a good game. We've seen some drops in the FA Trophy with Yeovil Town in the past. So a lot of fans will remember us going out to Burscoe all the way back in 2003-4, I think it was. It has happened before, but we'll obviously be hoping that it won't. But yeah, have a safe trip and thanks again for joining us tonight.
No problem. Cheers for having me.
All right. Cheers, Leo. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back. That was Leo, a very impressive 14-year-old who knows his stuff about Needham Market. And it's going to be nice to be back at Hewish Park. Sorry, Dave. Nice to be back at Hewish Park.
These cup competitions are ruining my season. Ruining it. If we beat Needham Market, which obviously I hope we do, then Eastleigh's out for me as well. We've already had Wilston and Southend taken away from me. Can we stop with all this success in cup competitions?
Hey, we won a treble, Dave.
Yeah.
The treble's still on. Ish.
You can win the Somerset Premier Cup game because I'm never going to get to them because they're all bloody midweek as well, aren't they? So it's at the final. That might be a weekend, mightn't it?
Might be.
Down to Cheddar or wherever.
What I was going to say is it's going to be nice to be back at Hewish Park, back to normal with half a ground. We'll see you.
Sounds like Needham Market are bringing a few.
We'll see the real supporters on Saturday. No, I don't mean that. It was nice to have people back at Bournemouth. It reminded me what it used to be like. I'm looking forward to the trophy. I love the trophy games. It's quite nice. When we were in the Football League all that time, we didn't really play. You don't get drawn against that smaller team at US Park. It never felt like we didn't get any like pub teams, did we? We were always...
Ghost of Burscoe, Ian. Don't forget the ghost of Burscoe. We were just looking this up while we were off air. 2002-03 season, we lost on Boxing Day at Forest Green Rovers, Boxing Day 2002, and we went the entire second half of the season undefeated, except for Burscow in the FA Trophy on the 15th of March 2003. And Burscow were effectively literally a village team, not far from where I live these days. And they put us out of the FA Trophy. I have a funny feeling that Gary Johnson played a bit of a, maybe chucked that one a little bit, even though we were holders of it, because obviously promotion was more. But it just goes to show you in cup competitions, well, we don't need telling about giant killing, do we? But
no, we
can
don't.
Be on the other side of it.
We don't. I think this tie, it would have been lovely to have had this without Southend in the middle, wouldn't it? Yeah. So what do we think? Let's have some predictions and let's have some lineups. I think the lineup could be an interesting one, although the managers... What's that face for, Dave? Get your notepad out.
I was trying to think of... Last time I did a lineup, I ended up with 12 players. So, and Ben said, why are we struggling to count to 11? So
we've got Max Evans in goal. I assume we're all team match for this one. Or do we want Grant Smith to get more games?
I want Max Evans to play. I don't know. He sent Grant Smith out for press. So I'm just like, is that a potential that he's going to play him? Don't know. I actually think the defeat against Southend, I don't know if you guys agree, makes this trophy more important. I don't know. It keeps us very much mid-table. We're not far off the playoffs. It could definitely still happen. But I think there's just a little bit more of an eye now on the trophy. You know, a lot of the National League clubs have been drawn against each other. Just feels like we need to probably prioritise this. But no, I agree. I think Max Evans should be. I'm just wondering if actually Darren Sell may think that because Grant Smith missed a couple of games and he had a shaky start against Southend. But once he was back in, you know, you saw exactly what we missed. So be interesting. But, I do expect Max Evans to probably play.
I think you raise a good point. I was going to say, I think you raise a good point there about, you know, we talked about it on last week where, you know, all the optimism about playoffs and rather than trophy, and I'm sort of leaning towards trophy rather than playoffs. And I think when you look at what happened on Tuesday night and our sort of situation with depth, it's starting to catch up. We've gone from having lots of players who can play a lot, or a small amount of players who can play lots of positions, to losing Luke Wilkinson kind of messes everything up a little bit because he's sort of like the rock who allows everyone else to be where they should be.
Yeah, and you raised it earlier. I think moving Josh Staunton, it's not what you want. You lose what he gives you in midfield. So and Dale Gorman on 7 yellow cards, so he's inevitably going to get another ban.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right. We're just about getting some depth, and then, you know, all comes back to bite you, doesn't it? And it just reminds me of when Albie Skendi had to play a number of positions, and as great as he was, and he was, it eventually started to catch up that those weren't his positions, and we were giving away silly goals, and you just feel that might happen.
I do.
You see Albie posting on his Instagram that he misses playing, so maybe we'll invite him back.
He's under contract somewhere.
Going to say, we pointed out to him that he is due in for training on Friday morning, so hopefully he'll come back. Well, here's a question for you then, and it was one that Ben brought up in a blog that we put up on the website on Thursday night. Where's Alex Bradley? He was at Southend, am I right, Sheridan?
Yeah, and he's not been absent from games. He's been absent from squads, but he's been around. I've not ever seen that he hasn't travelled. I read Ben's blog, and I actually do think he's just a victim of circumstance. I genuinely don't think there's anything more to it. I think he got COVID at completely the wrong time, and I just think perhaps we haven't had the right game to play him in midfield, and I think we do probably want to play him in midfield. Could be wrong. it will be interesting now that I assume Dan Moss would have one more game. So whether we do put him in at right back, because Mark Little didn't make the squad. So I would be very surprised if we put him straight in against Eden Market. So maybe we will see him either in midfield or at right back. But I genuinely think he is probably just a victim of circumstance. And sometimes when you can play multiple positions, it actually goes against you, doesn't it?
If he's not a right back, who is at right back?
Well, is it
William?
Is it? Well, I mean, before the Torquay, the away match, Darren Sile said Mark Little was, you know, nearly there, would be, you know, possibly starting games. Yep. So whether he's just protecting him or really making sure this injury is not going to reoccur.
You wouldn't want to rush him, would you, given his history with injuries as well?
No, I wonder if we're lining him up to, I don't know, give him a half.
Yeah.
The weekend maybe, and you know, I don't know. I don't want to do a disservice.
I think it's different as well, isn't it? They're both sort of similar ages, but I think Mark Little's injury was a bit more serious. And when you're in a defensive position, you kind of probably need to be a bit more protected than you are as, say, a striker. I don't know. But I mean, yeah, he's got to be back soon, hasn't he? Especially with Dan Moss leaving. I think that's crucial that Mark Little comes back to fitness ASAP. But the only way he's going to come back to fitness is, like you say, getting some minutes. And yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to sort of Alex Bradley 45, Mark Little 45, if that's possible. I think that would be great for us to see.
And I think with the loss of Wilkinson, of voice, we've heard so much about Mark Little's voice.
Yeah.
I haven't actually heard Mark Little's voice, but but whatever it is, it sounds big and booming from what we hear. Anyway,
you must have heard it. You went to, what was the pre-season? Stratford. He played that game.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Because he got injured against Forest Green in the second friendly.
I probably did then. I'm a bit deaf, so I don't really hear things.
You
very
were
well.
Too busy
Shout
taking.
Louder, Mark.
You
Shout
were too,
louder.
Too busy taking photos of trialists.
Yeah, that's right.
On the
Shane
slide.
Dalling, whatever happened to him, eh? Yeah. Pictures of trialists and Jed McCrory. So who have we got in the rest of the team there? Because I've tried to scribble one down here, but there's lots of scribblings out. I do have Quigley and Reed up front, so there you go.
Do you going for 4-4-2?
I'm looking at 4-4-2.
I was surprised by the manager saying he wanted to go back to 4-4-2 because I really liked 4-3-3.
I just can't see, and Sheridan will tell us from what she saw on Tuesday night, Wakefield and Knowles, they just, Wakefield in particular, must be knackered. And with, I mean, he's done, you know, you wouldn't think he's a player with his injury record, the amount of games that he's been playing. But do you want to, you know, if there was a player that is like, we've seen it with Wilkinson, you know, would you want to risk it? Because he's such an important player for us when he's fit and firing.
I agree. I think Wakefield's tired. I think Wakefield needs a rest. I would continue to play Tom Knowles because I think when he had that little spell out where we thought he had concussion, he has been easing himself in. I think he's a sort of player that actually he needs to just get back on the pitch in terms of, you know, I've spoken to him so many times, so key to his confidence, just getting back out of there. And he knows what he needs to improve. I don't think a spell on the sidelines would help him. I think it might hinder him. So I agree. I think I'd probably rest Charlie Wakefield and play Tom Knowles.
What's your back line then? What have we got?
Well, I got Bradley, Hunt and Williams in the middle, and then Jack Robinson left back.
I've got exactly the same.
Yeah. And then in midfield, I've got Knowles. Can I put Tom Knowles down the right? I can put Tom Knowles down the right, can't I? Worthington, yeah. Staunton, and Jordan Barney, and then Quigley and Reed up front. So drop Dale Gorman as well, because it's evident he's got more bloody cards than Clinton's, isn't he? So
totally, nothing against him as the player, but I would drop him just because you know, the yellow card situation is just a shambles.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to stop him shooting from like ridiculous distances as well. So go on, what differences have you got then, Ian, from that I just read out? You're playing 4-3-3, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I like 4-3-3. So I've gone Little, Williams, Hunt and Robinson with Staunton, Bradley
and Matt Worthington as a trio, then Sonny, Reed, and Tom Knowles.
Yeah, I got Sonny as well. I think Sonny. Difficult.
Decisions to be made. It's weird, isn't it? Like, we seem to have lots of decisions to make, but not a lot of players.
Yeah.
But it's mainly about not knackering the players we've got.
Exactly.
Well, I know you got a bit of stick from Sunday, didn't you, and from some people, hi Colin, for suggesting that we weren't going to make the playoffs. And I said to someone that I thought we had a playoff-winning team, a playoff-making team, but probably a mid-table squad.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because we just don't have that depth. Although we've just proved there that we do have a bit of depth, don't we? So
I don't mind taking a bit of stick every now and then.
No, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Everyone has a different opinion.
It's funny as well, isn't it? Because you know, we do have a strong starting 11, but what's stronger, Jordan Barnett at left back or Jack Robinson at left back? They're very different players, and I find that really tough to decide where to go. I actually thought when Jack Robinson came on, we looked better, that we looked more assured. So I know Jordan Barnett prefers his left back role, and that's clearly his position. But I think he's a little bit knackered as well. I know he had a bit of a break, but he was ill, so his deliveries weren't as good. So do you put him in midfield? Difficult, because actually, yeah, we've got that good 11, but we've also got players that play in different roles in different games, depending on the game. Sonny is the prime example of that, Robinson, Barnett. It seems strange that complaining we don't have enough players, but we can't quite come to a conclusion of how we're going to line up.
We're almost a bit top-heavy now as well, aren't we? Yeah. We got no defenders.
We got another loan spot freed up now, haven't we? And what about, it's a point that we haven't mentioned him. What about Jaheim Headley? We've forgotten about him, haven't we?
Yeah, I wonder when his loan's up. It must be coming up because he had a month, didn't he?
Woking game, didn't he? Yeah.
Which was the middle of December.
Yeah. So, yeah, his loan must be coming up for a while as well. Do you think he just, because he, you two saw it, he seemed to do a good, played well in that Woking game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But is he better than Barnett Robinson? I see that loan as a Dylan Barnes type loan. And that's no criticism of the player. I think it was just necessity at the time. And he did take his chance, but I just don't think you could swap out Barnett or Robbo, could you?
Well, maybe if Barnett needs a rest, maybe you could let him in for that game. Guilty, I completely forgot him, but just looking at the signings, he is with us still the 15th inclusive.
I do want to see Morgan Williams at centre back though. I think now that we've got Robinson back, hopefully Mark Little, Alex Bradley at right back, I think he's done such a good job in mopping up those positions that he deserves to have a chance in his own position. And get those minutes behind him, I think. So I don't want to put Robinson in there.
Okay.
Right, I'm just looking at all the bloody questions we've got.
You mean that our delightful listeners have taken the time to put to us?
Yeah. You must have You must have posted that at peak, like a peak time.
I posted it at 3 o'clock, which is 5 hours ahead of recording. So.
Yeah, everyone's looking at the. That's when everyone goes to make a cup of tea, isn't it? 3 o'clock.
Is it?
Yeah.
3 o'clock.
O'clock.
I thought it was 2:30 tea break. Not 2:30 tea break.
No, 3. Do you not listen to BBC Six Music?
Hey,
used to have tea time theme time.
I don't even know there is BBC Six. I thought, I just don't. It's four channels for me, and then all the rest are just them funny channels,
See, what you mean is it's BBC Somerset or it's nothing.
Yeah. I tune into BBC Somerset from the northwest of England. Yeah. Not remembering it's darker earlier off here as well, so 2:30.
Yeah,
I'm close to the Arctic Circle.
Nearly asleep by then.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I ask the first question, Ian?
Yeah, please do.
Please? Would you like me to? Right, okay. So question from Elliot Watts. How much should we read into the presence of Simmel Sports shareholder and former Yeovil Town, former Yeovil Town player Mark Burcham being at Southend on Tuesday? Just for context, Mark Burcham did tweet a picture of the Yeovil Town team sheet, presumably from somewhere in the stands, maybe somewhere in an executive section of the stand. Ian, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take it. I wonder where his first... he said it was his second game. I wonder where his first game was.
Did he say second game, did he?
I think he said it was his second match of the day.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he'd been somewhere else as well.
Stevenage and Luton.
Well, who knows? yeah, I think it's... Well, someone asked if it was a coincidence as well, didn't they? Probably not. Probably not a coincidence, I would say. I mean, we know from the statement on Twitter, however many days ago, 6 Scott Priestnell days or 7 Scott Priestnell days, from Julian Jenkins saying Simmel Sports.
It's like the Mayan calendar, isn't it? It's the Priestnell calendar.
They were working to acquire, you know, the football club. So, you know, why wouldn't you be sending people to games? I'd hazard a guess that they've been sending people to games for a long time. What do you think, Dave? What are you reading into the presence of Mark Burcham?
No, I'm reading into exactly the same as you are, that it's got to be, if you think that a takeover of the club is a positive thing, and I think it would be, then I would take it as a fairly overt message to people that he's there and he's interested in Yeovil. And if there's someone who's there and is interested in Yeovil, then that's a good thing. I mean, from some other Yeovil supporters who were there, it sounds like there wasn't any other representation from the club's directors at that match, which I won't tell you exactly what I thought of it, but I don't think that's a good thing at all. But so if there is someone who wants to sit in a director's box or wherever it was he was sat, and show an interest in Yeovil Town, then that's got to be a positive thing.
Didn't want to doorstep him, Sheridan.
Sheridan's where he was going to put in a tackle on it, but he'd probably get injured if he did. So
it terrifies me. Terrified me as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the tights he wore that terrified you as a player?
The hair and
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Can't be a coincidence, and it would just be nice to know exactly what it meant.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. Maybe one day someone will tell us.
That wasn't the first question on my list, Dave. Have you skipped down a few questions to answer?
Oh, well, the first one starts not a question. Or have you got the one from Ben? Is that the...
No, I got Dan Johnson. Maybe a harsh one, but do we consider dropping Gorman after his constant shots, giving the ball away and conceding straight after Torquay and Southend? And play a 4-4-2. We've kind of talked about dropping Gorman, but not for those reasons, really.
That reason. No.
I think, I did it on the conclusions a few weeks ago that Gorman's a type of player that I think we'll miss when he's not in the team because he does keep things ticking over nicely. I mean, you notice the horror tackles and the you know, free kicks that go high and wide, but it's those bits of, you know, keeping the ball turning over and, you know, winning it back as well. We're a worse team without him in there, in my view.
I also think that three just works so well. Gorman, Staunton, Worthington. I think we missed Worthington. Again, really one of those not fancy players that when they're not there, you miss them. And I think Staunton and Worthington, the calming influence on Gorman, when he's left to his own device. I always notice it when Staunton's at centre-back that Gorman's just a little bit more willing to shoot even more than he would normally, or going in on a ridiculous tackle. So I think actually that three is great together. They just all have such different positives to bring. So I think actually when you lose one of them, it really does notice. But I would certainly, just from the yellow cards and alone, not play him on Saturday.
Do we think that Josh Staunton is Grant of the duo then? Because Grant was always a bit more of a bit less of a hothead than Phil, wouldn't you say?
I remember because, you know, Phil Mitchell turned into a hothead because he was the alcoholic, wasn't he?
No,
I'm not saying,
But was that when Grant was gone? So without Grant there to support.
But Grant was always the one that could really do the damage, couldn't he? Grant was the one that could really do the damage if he wanted to, but he didn't. Do you not remember when he found out Sharon was cheating on him? You don't remember that? This goes back to the days when I used to watch EastEnders, but
let's move along.
Mitchell gave you that look.
Let's move along. This is not a question. This is Ben Barrett wanting to thank Chris Fox for the birthday gift. His Terrace Life collection continues to grow. So he's got a nice, the classic AC Milan away shirt with Bradford's all over it. Very good.
I also noticed that I've properly upset him because he's not here when I'm here. So
Well,
compliments really have. My bad.
Do you want to rank? Do you want to rank your co-commentators while you're?
I can't look.
Oh, she's holding up a list, Ben.
Lawson in that midfield. Lawson in that midfield. Yeah, yeah. My team.
I open the window and the wind's blowing the right direction, I'll hear Ben's heart breaking.
Oh, right. We're going to get a message tomorrow.
We're in trouble.
Glover Gav asked, how will the 5,800 home fans we had versus Bournemouth fit into the ground on Saturday for the Needham Market game as only the main stand and the Thatcher's Terrace is open? Winky face. I think he's being cheeky there. Dave, this might be one for you. Would defeat to Needham Market be worse than losing to Walton and Hersham in the Cup? Or is that even, does that predate you?
I do remember us losing to Walton and Hersham in the FA Cup. Yeah, that was, we had a manager called Brian Hall at the time, and he was very successful for us in his first time, and then he came back and he was absolutely stinking. He basically brought back all the players that he was successful with in his first spell, but they were all a good deal older by then. And we ended up, he got sacked, and that was when Graham Roberts came in, and then we got relegated that season. I think I've got that right, anyway. If we lost to Needham Market, I'd say it would be up there with Bursko. I think Walton and Hersham was probably one of those sort of seminal moments where everything was, that's where everything hit the fan, shall we say. So I don't think it would hit the fan if we lost to Needham Market, but it wouldn't be. That's not going to happen.
Clevo's barraged us with questions here.
Has he answered them all as well?
Unfortunately, not overly. Do you think the uncertainty around the manager's future at the club is having an impact on the pitch? Concern we may lose key players in the summer and be back to square one again. How many of the current squad are contracted for next season? So we think there's a couple. Yeah. In
Joe Quigley and Morgan Williams.
Yeah, so there's the spine. missing a few vertebrae. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Do you think we're making more of the uncertainty than they are around the club? I mean, footballers' whole careers are uncertain, especially at this level. They go from year contract to year contract. I think, you know, if anything, Darren Sowell's been quite lucky that he's had a 3-year contract that he looks like he's going to reach the end of.
I saw that question before I came on. I thought exactly the same thing. I was like, it's actually quite a unique situation, isn't it? That he's getting to the end of his contract. How many managers get that? They either, you know, extend in the middle of it or they're sacked, quite frankly, before it even gets there. I don't think there's anything that is affecting the players or the club. But like you say, particularly there's a young team there, and there's the experienced players we have are coming to the end of their careers. So actually, they're in the situation where they're probably just enjoying their football as it is now. I don't think it's affecting anything at all. I think because we know that hopefully, or, you know, there's something potentially going on behind the scenes, whether that be with Scott and what he's planning to do, or whether that be with someone else coming in. I think, you know, you put these things together, don't you? And you know that the manager's going to be the first thing that they try and sort. So I'm not noticing anything. I think it's just been that we've just been on a bit of a bad run, and certainly all those players are are behind Darren Sall, and if I know Darren Sall, he'll be talking to someone about his future, and I'm sure he'll be talking to the players about their future. And a lot of the time, particularly at this level, you don't know always what contracts are and when they're up and when they're extended. He often does that to me, and just, I think, remember last year, he's like, do it quickly, stay in. So, you know, that kind of thing just always happens. So, no, I agree with Ian.
Or whether we've got options that we just take up.
Yeah.
Coatsy, anything to add?
No, I do think a lot of these players do play for Darren Sall. I think there's probably, I think he's got quite a lot of goodwill with them all, because you look at them, there's obviously players that he's known from his past, Gorman and Wilkinson being two obvious examples, but then I think there's players like Wakefield, and you know, that we heard from Dan Moss talk about, you know, a lot of players talk about the gaffer and tell, don't they, about how they've done. So and I know, you know, you can say it's a bit cliche to talk about all the great spirit of these young lads, but you do genuinely feel that there is a, you know, they do have a loyalty to him as a manager. And I imagine, you know, being the kind of character that he is, he probably is someone who inspires loyalty from his players. So I do think that, you know, I think there's a question about whether we think he should get a new contract or not. But I do think if he did leave, there, you know, that could be dangerous, because I think a lot of the players are here for him. And if we think that these are the players we want to keep at the club, then maybe that's something we need to consider.
Yeah, there is a question about that as well. teed up by Adam Skinner, who I thanked for the question, and then he proceeded to tell me that he was split on the decision, but he didn't want either of us to sit on the fence, or any of us to sit on the fence. So a bit cheeky on his part. So Darren Sall has mentioned a couple of times now that this might be his last season. If you are the owner of Yeovilton Football Club, do you offer him a new contract, and why? Feel free.
I think as it stands right now, I would offer him another contract based on what he's done. I mean, let's say last season, we'll write off last season because it deserved to be written off. But I think if you look at what he did in his first season, we've spoken so many times about what he walked into and the fact that the season ended with COVID. I think this season, I mean, we joke about him not don't believe in runs, but he does go on them. I think we are on a bit of a run at the moment. Let's hope we do turn it around on Saturday. But I think he's done enough to earn a new contract. I'll add a slight caveat into that. I mean, if there is a takeover and there is somebody that the new owners want to work with, then, you know, it's very likely that they are going to bring that person in. But I would be amazed if there's anybody who wants to own Yeovil Football Club in the long run who's not considering Darren Sall as a big part of their future based on what they see from him. Would be my view. So I would, as it stands now, I would give him a contract. That's not sitting on the fence. I would.
Yeah. I'd like to see him given a contract and being backed.
Money.
Yeah.
Because I think, especially with this team, you know, in a perfect world, he's going to keep this team together. All these young players add a little bit more. And who knows, you know, who knows what they'll achieve. But I think it, as it stands right now, I'd give him another, you know, I don't know, another extension. I don't know, really. I think he'd be worth a new contract, in my view. Which, you know, is a hell of a climb down from both you and I, Dave, because after that Weymouth game.
Yeah. But that does go to show you, doesn't it? Is how football can change. Because I said the same last season when that end of the season, after we got battered at Torquay. At that point, I said, you know, I think he's got two more games to save his job, and he won them both. Yeah. So if he wants to keep proving me wrong, he's more than welcome. So if you want me to say that he's going to be needing market, otherwise he's out of a job, then I'm more than happy to say that, if that means you win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult question, because I get why, you know, people like change for some reason, and people seem to think there's a queue of managers looking to come in, which I don't necessarily think, you know, I don't necessarily think there is that. But yeah, sign him on. Let's have it. Why not? Absolutely. I think especially after, you know, after all the stuff we went through last year with Lee Collins and how he carried himself during that whole period. You know, we said it at the time that, you know, I don't think there's anyone else who could have carried the club the way he carried the club through that. And when you look at what's happened since then, with like behind the scenes, it was very much all down to him. There was no one else taking charge in that situation, was it? It was all Darren Sarr. So, yeah. Here's one for me and you, Dave. After seeing a fellow podcaster, Staunton and Hunt, on an episode, do the Glovers cast feel they need to up their game?
Well, I've already given my reply to this. We don't quite know. It's the Football Podcast, I think they're called. There's a picture of two young Yeovil-based journalists, I'm guessing, with Josh Staunton and Max Hunt. All I'll say is, yeah, okay, so they can turn up once with all their fancy equipment and Josh Staunton wearing a beanie. But can they pull it out of the bag twice a week in a cold, wet, windy, it is quite windy outside, night in Lancashire? Let's see. Let's see how much stamina they've got, shall we?
Dave, do you want me to get Reuben Reid on here? Because I
absolutely, yeah. Well, next game I'm going to, if the bloody cup competitions don't ruin it for me, is Woking. So I want Reuben Reid to score a hat trick, and I want him to run to me and give me the ears. You know what I mean?
Give you the shift.
I'll shake you.
He'll have a message for you under a shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I won't repeat what it'll say. Yeah. But what are you thinking? Do we need to up our game?
I don't know. After the evening we've had, which will
can't talk about the evening we've
had.
No,
I think we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
You're doing fine. Don't even worry. Competition is healthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't want to be Alex Bradley here, do we? Missing in action.
Ah, oh, there's so many questions. And it's really late. After defeat, well, Ben's not on, so he can't answer this one. After defeat to Southend and with the injury to Wilkinson and Moss's departure, will Ben now accept 12th place in a cup double? he can answer that. Does the Glovers cast have any New Year's resolutions? And if so, have you managed to stick to them? I haven't made any. I don't believe in them, really.
No, I don't believe in them. They're just like a hostage to fortune, aren't you? I think you're going to fail. You're setting yourself up to fail.
I think we've answered.
I did like Robin. That was Robin, wasn't he? He said, yeah. I wish Gorman was on Dry January so he'd leave the shots alone.
I can't answer this one. Rate in order: Kidderminster Harrier's pie, Rushton and Diamond's burger, Grimsby's cod and chips. Or is there a ground with better away day food offerings?
I can tell you, Sam was not impressed with Southend.
Did they have jelly deals or something like that?
I can't remember, get a pie, and he was so angry about it. Yeah.
Well, Kidderminster Harrier did an amazing chicken bolty pie. That's going back a very long time ago. Rustin and Diamonds had the Diamond Burger, which was literally like a heart attack in a bun. Grimsby's fish and chips. I don't think that was Grimsby. I don't know. I don't remember eating them at the ground. But I do remember going to a little cafe or fish and chip place just down the road from Grimsby's ground. It was like someone, like your nan's living room. That's what it looked like. And that was probably the best fish and chips I've ever eaten in my life. So I would go for that. Although the Diamond Burger was pretty close. And I would say that Dover, that last game we played of last season, wasn't it? They did one called the Crabble Burger, which was also like two patties, cheese, bacon, and I like a flour bap. That was pretty good as well. But that was like a heart attack in a bun as well. So, yeah, I'd go Grimsby cotton chips.
There you go. And I can't see. Can you see any others, Dave? Oh, mine will come up in different orders to you.
Yeah. Do you think kids going free without an adult ticket having to be purchased to get the free ticket is a good thing, as it's not pulling money in? And then Debs Curtis, I think she's given a good answer to this one. She says, it'll work once they're in because they buy food and drink. My kids always fleece me for cash for a sausage roll. So, yeah, there is that in there, yeah. And if they keep coming back, it's got to be a good thing, isn't it?
I think so.
I think we've criticised them, haven't we, for not doing things like that. So we can't really criticise them for doing things like that.
Yeah, we can. We can criticise everyone for everything. You don't have to be rational or balanced, I mean.
Yeah, you're right. My commentary is always so balanced.
Yeah.
Right. Should we call it? Dave, do you need to introduce us? Yeah, don't worry. I'm getting there. I wouldn't forget your the pièce de résistance.
Absolutely.
Bring it. Introduce it.
The only way to finish is the brought to you by the historical oracle, Mr. Nigel Dyson, is the new look Yeovil Town quiz. Okay, so it's the only way to finish the Glovers Cast. It is, of course, the Glovers Cast quiz. And last week, we changed it up a bit. We brought in a little bit more of a trivia-based quiz. And as we heard, Robin was our guinea pig for that edition. He got 2 out of 5. And I left it by saying to you, if anybody could guess the other two Williamses who we didn't get, if you remember, we asked about the Williamses that have played for Yeovil during the Football League era, and Robin correctly guessed Sam and Gavin. He didn't get Andy, which he was kicking himself for. So I put it out there and I said, there's two more Williamses to get. Whoever gets them first can come on and beat our contestant next time up. And the man who did it was our contender for tonight, Mr. Paul McCormack. Paul, firstly, welcome to the Glovers Cast quiz.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you have to tell us who were the other two Williamses.
It was Marvin Williams and Dale Williams.
Dale Williams, that's right. Dale Williams was a good one because he only played once for us, I think, unless you're into watching youth teams.
Yes, yeah. I don't know how I knew that one, to be honest.
Yeah. And when was it you came in with an answer? Tell us the story behind that, because you were the early bird that caught the worm.
Yeah, so basically I was listening to the Sean McDonald podcast earlier at work on the night shift, and I uploaded it, well, refreshed the screen, seen that you had done a new podcast, and listened to it then, so it was about 5 in the morning.
I got your answer, 17 minutes past 5, so yeah.
I thought I would be in luck.
You have to get up pretty early in the AM to beat this man, I tell you. But let's see how he gets on, because we've got 5 more questions, so just to quickly refresh the rules, because they are new. I think I can get away with giving the rules with Ian won't roll his eyes at me too much. But so the rules of this are that we have 5 questions. If you get all 5, you are welcome to come back and try it all again next week. However, if you get fewer than 5, we will roll it over to somebody else. Some of these questions are going to be multiple choice. Some of them aren't. Some of them might be from a slightly earlier periods of Yeovil Town's history. Some of them will be a bit more recent, shall we say. So, Paul, are you feeling confident?
Yeah, a little bit. We'll see. You'll go one way or the other.
Yeah, okay, right. Let's see. Right, so the first question, if you're ready. This season, Darren Searles handed league debuts to 14 players, but how many players were handed league debuts on the opening day defeat to King's Lynn? Was it A, 7, B, 5, or C, 9? You've got 30 seconds to answer this question.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to say, sorry, can you say those 3 again?
So it's A, 7, B, 5, or C, 9.
I'm going to go for 5.
The answer is actually 7.
That's unbelievable.
So that is unbelievable. Yeah. And do you, can you name the 7? So say, we'll give you an opportunity to win a point.
Oh, my God.
Can you name the 7? If you get all 7, I'll give you the point.
Is Dan Moss here then?
Yeah, Dan Moss. That's 1.
Sonny,
that's 2.
Jack Robinson?
Jack Robinson was injured. Was injured for the first game. I'll read them all out. So we've got Grant Smith, Jordan Barnett, Dale Gorman, Charlie Wakefield, Dan Moss, Sonny Blue, Low Everton, and Adi Youssef. The latter 2 came off the bench for that game. But yeah, 7 7 debuts on day one. So unfortunately, we won't be inviting you back, but you can still make yourself to the top of the Glovers Cast quiz, because if you get more than two, you're top of the league. So, okay, here's your next question, number two. Which Premier League team does former Yeovil Town loanee Shane Duffy now play for?
Brighton.
Brighton and Hove Albion is the right answer. You only need 4.5 seconds to get that one. That one was pretty swift. Okay, right. So that's one out of five. We're on the road. Okay, question number three. Our first match and our most recent match, let's not call it our last match, in the Football League at Huish Park were both played against the same team. Who was that team?
Our first and our last.
Our first league game and our most recent league game. Let's not call it last. I'll give you the first one was in August 2003 and the last one was May 2019.
That's Rochdale.
I'm afraid that's the wrong answer. At Huish Park.
Oh, Huish Park.
Yeah. Do you want to have another guess? Go on, I'll give you another guess.
I'll be guessing. It's Bury.
Not far off. Carlisle United was the correct answer. Yeah. The first game at Huish Park, we beat them 3-0 in August 2003. And we drew 0-0 with them on the final game of the 2018-19 season. So there we go. Difficult one. But Rochdale, you were right. That was the first game of the Football League era. So that's where you were thinking right there. Okay. So still chance to top Robin for the quiz. Question number four. This one is a bit before your time, I'm going to say, but you might well remember it. Which Yeovil Town player also captained England? I'll give you a clue. It's a little bit of a trick question, but there's a very strong Somerset connection here.
Somerset connection.
A Somerset connection, as in Lever on Willow. Might not necessarily have played football.
Ian Botham.
Ian Botham is the right answer. Yes, indeed. I helped you along a little bit, but I'll give it a point there. I didn't want to be too harsh. Ian Botham, and oddly, he captained England 12 times, and he played for Yeovil Town 12 times as well. So there you go. We played for Yeovil Town in 1985. That's a little bit before my time. So if you're 30 years old, then well before your time. But yeah, so that's 2 out of 5. So you're at least level top and level bottom of the, the grid. Okay, so this is question number five. This one can get you to the top of the table. Okay, multiple choice one this. Steve Thompson stepped down to be assistant manager for two first team managers. For which two of the following managers did he step aside? David Webb, Colin Addison, Gary Johnson, and Russell Slade. Which two of those four did he step aside for?
Russell Slade and Gary Johnson?
Oh, close. Can give you half a point there. It was Russell Slade, but the other player, the other manager, I should say, was David Webb. So he stepped aside for both of those. So we're going to give you... I'm not sure we're allowed half points in this quiz, but we'll give you half points. So that puts you top of the leaderboard with 2.5 points out of 5, halfway there. That's pretty good, isn't it? There you go. Well, well done. Thanks for being a good sport, and thank you for getting up so early in the day to be listening. You've got to be our earliest listener, I'd say.
Certainly for me, yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Well, Paul, really appreciate listening. Thanks very much for doing the quiz. We've got a couple more people who have been in touch to say they want to do the quiz. So we will be getting in touch with you. Been in touch with one of you already, so you should know it's coming. So get your Yeovil Town encyclopedias out, because the historical oracle Nigel Dyson, he's got some tough questions coming up. So keep on listening, Paul. Let us know how you get on with future rounds, won't you?
Super. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making for his back pedal. So
Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.